Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him. And you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this. Then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Now, when we began our study on Psalm 50, we said last time that the Jewish priests were obligated to read the law of God to the people and explain its meaning every year during the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 to 13, we read, then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. Psalm 50 may have been written for such an occasion, and we said that the emphasis in the psalm is on consistent godly living that should result from true spiritual worship. True spiritual worship leads to consistent godly living. And we also said that Asaph, who wrote the psalm, was one of David's worship leaders. And in verses 1 to 6 of the psalm, Psalm 50, we see there that God is the judge. God the judge summons the court. He then confronts two offenders. He confronts the formalist to whom worship has become a ritual. Then God confronts the hypocrite to whom worship is a disguise to cover up sin. In verses 16 to 21. Then the psalm closes with a call to all worshippers to be faithful to God in verses 22 to 23. So in Psalm 50, first we see the holy judge in verses 1 to 6. Then we see God addressing the heartless worshippers in verses 7 to 15. Then we see God addressing the hypocritical sinners in verses 16 to 21. And then finally we see the description of the honest worshipper in verses 22 to 23. Now we looked into verses 1 to 6 last time. And so today we will move on into the rest of the psalm. God addresses the heartless worshippers. Psalm 50 verses 7 to 15. Psalm 50 verses 7 to 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Now that statement, hear, O my people, and I will speak. Psalm 50 verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. That has a majestic ring to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1, because it is God who is speaking. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. So God is speaking to his chosen nation. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God is calling Israel to listen to him and obey his word. Deuteronomy 6 verses 3 and 4. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The God of Israel had delivered them from Egypt and led them into Canaan, and he is the one who is speaking. Deuteronomy 9 verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations great and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven. His voice is the voice of majesty. Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 3. And shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. The Lord first speaks to those who are his own people. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. But the people's hearts are not in their worship. Their devotion is faithful, but it's only a routine. Their hearts are not in it. They have failed to listen to God speaking. Like the church at Ephesus, they had left their first love. The risen, ascended Christ speaks to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. So they were worshiping the Lord out of routine, out of habit. They were not worshiping the Lord from the heart. Outwardly, they were doing what the Lord had commanded. They were honoring the daily sacrifices which God had commanded. Exodus chapter 29, verse 38 and 39. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar. Two lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. So they did this. Exodus chapter 29, verse 42. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. So the people were offering all these regular daily sacrifices, but inwardly they lacked love and fellowship with God. They were not listening to God. They were not obeying him. They forgot the fact that God wanted their hearts before he wanted their sacrifices. Jeremiah chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I gave them, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk in all the way that I command you that it may be well with you. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Micah chapter 6 verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Remember when Jesus spoke to the scribe, the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 12 verses 28 to 34. He is speaking to the scribe, Mark chapter 12. Verses 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So the sacrifices that the Lord commanded were indeed important. Those sacrifices were important to the spiritual life of the nation of Israel. But they did no good to the worshippers unless there was faith in the heart, unless and until there was love for the Lord, unless they had a desire to honor the Lord in obedience. Those sacrifices were meaningless if they did not truly worship him in faith, in love, and desire to obey him and honor him. The animals they brought already belonged to him long before the worshippers ever saw them. The world and everything in it belongs to God. Psalm 50 verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Acts chapter 17 verses 24 to 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the earth and everything in it belongs to God, and there is nothing we can give to God. Psalm 50 verses 14 to 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You see, the people had come to God's court and were saying, you can't judge us. We have been offering you sacrifices. And God replied in Psalm 50 verse 8 and 9, not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. He also said in Psalm 50 verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. In other words, God was saying, when you bring me these sacrifices, you're only giving to me what I have already given to you. Now think about that. When you give your tithe, or when you put your offering into the offertory bag in church, Are you giving God something that isn't already His? Who gives you the strength to work? God. Who protects you when you travel to and fro to work? God. Who gives you the skill to work? God. Therefore, when we bring material offerings to Him and He wants us to do so, we must remember that we are only bringing Him what He already has given us. God wants us to give Him what He has not given us. So what the Lord wanted from His people was thanksgiving, thanksgiving from their hearts, obedience to His word, prayer, and a desire to honor Him in everything. Psalm 50 verses 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The Lord doesn't want ritualism or formalism. He wants our worship to come from the heart. The sacrifices that God wants most from us originates in our hearts. Calling upon Him, thanking Him, obeying Him. That's what God wants. So bring to Him thanksgiving and praise. God does not give us thanksgiving and then say, give it back to me. No. He waits for us to praise Him. So bring obedience to God. Perform your vows to the Most High. Psalm 50 verse 14. Bring prayer to God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Psalm 50 verse 15. So when we bring these sacrifices to God, we glorify God. God wants your sacrifices to be from your heart. So often we receive from God without giving thanks, without returning thanks and praise. Just think, haven't you done that? We all are guilty of this. We receive from God, but we forget to thank Him. We don't return thanks and praise. If you desire to bring glory to God, then thank Him for what He is doing for you. And obey His word and bring your problems to Him. These are all opportunities that God can use to bring glory to Himself. Then we find God is addressing the hypocritical sinners in Psalm 50 verses 16 to 21. Psalm 50 verses 16 to 21. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Now this message was addressed to the wicked. Now who are these people? Who are they? They were the Israelites in the covenant community who were reciting the creed with their lips, but deliberately they were disobeying God's law. Now after breaking God's law, they would go to the sanctuary and act very religious, thinking that they could cover up their sins. They helped to make the sanctuary a den of thieves, the place where thieves go to hide after they have committed their wicked deeds. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Now we read Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 21 verse 13, regarding the temple. Jesus says in Matthew 21 verse 13, He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. So they had no respect for God's word. Psalm 50 verse 7. For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. They not only consented to the sins of others, but participated in them and they enjoyed doing so. Psalm 50 verses 18 to 20. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. to hate discipline. Psalm 50 verse 17. To hate discipline means to reject an ordered way of life, patterned after God's word, to reject a responsible life. The Lord specifically named stealing. That was one of their sins. That is the eighth commandment. Exodus chapter 20 verse 15. You shall not steal. Then the Lord also mentions adultery, the seventh commandment. Exodus 20 verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Then he mentions deceitful speech and slander, the ninth commandment. Exodus 20 verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So they were doing all this. They had broken all these commandments. Now these are not old covenant sins. These are applicable equally for believers today who live under the new covenant. We can be just as guilty of committing these same sins. Once again, the silence of God is mentioned here. We found first the silence was mentioned in verse 3, Psalm 50 verse 3. Our God comes, He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire, around Him a mighty tempest. Now again in verse 21, Psalm 50 verse 21. These things you have done and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. You see, God is long suffering with sinners. But these wicked people interpreted God's silence as His approval. Isaiah 42 verse 14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. Isaiah 57 verse 11. Whom did you dread and fear so that you lied and did not remember me, did not lay it to heart? Have I not held my peace even for a long time and you do not fear me? Isaiah 65 verse 6. Behold, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap. The thinking of these people had become so confused that they ended up creating a God in their own image. Psalm 50 verse 21. These things you have done and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. God was in the hands of ignorant sinners. They had forgotten God. The Apostle Paul describes this in Romans chapter 1 verses 22 to 28. And I read to you Romans chapter 1 verses 22 to 28. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. God gave them up to a debased mind. They did not want God to interfere with their lifestyle. They had a false confidence that they could sin and get away with it. So God gave them up. Then God addresses the honest worshipper in verses 22 to 23. Psalm 50 verses 22 to 23. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. In the two closing verses of the psalm, Asaph briefly summarized the characteristics of the kind of worshipper God is seeking. Remember, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The true worshipper has a proper fear of the Lord, and he seeks only to honor God. That is what the true worshipper seeks to do in worship. He seeks only to honor God. He obeys God's will. The New American Standard Bible version says, He orders His way aright. He orders His way aright. Psalm 50 verse 23, the New American Standard Bible. And he's also able to experience or see the salvation of the Lord. So when you combine these characteristics with verses 14 and 15, gratitude to God, obedience, prayer, and a desire to glorify God, you have a description of true worship, of true worshipers who bring joy to the heart of God. Psalm 50 verses 14 to 15, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Again, in Psalm 50 verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. Now, today we don't sacrifice bulls and goats and lambs. We don't have a literal altar to which we bring literal sacrifices. The sacrifices God wants from us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ comes from our hearts. Even when we bring money, which is a literal and real sacrifice, it must be given from a heart of love, sincerity, and faith. Our purpose of living is to glorify God and enjoy Him. That is the whole purpose of life. Our purpose of living is to glorify God and enjoy Him. The more you glorify God, the more you delight in Him, the more you will enjoy Him. And your life becomes enriched as you glorify God. One way we glorify God as believers in Christ is by doing good works. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We praise Him through worship. We praise Him through an orderly, godly lifestyle. Psalm 50 verse 23. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So we have something to offer and we have something to order. We offer praise by faith and we order life by obedience. So as the good old hymn goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we become true worshipers, what happens? We experience God's manifest presence in our lives. The presence of God becomes very tangible. We walk in the realm of God's Spirit. We listen to His voice continually and we please Him by obeying Him. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So as true worshippers, we will not offer the members of our bodies to sin. But we will offer our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God in true worship. And this is something that we must do continually. Romans chapter 6 verse 12 to 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Members there means members of your body. Your hands, your feet, your lips, your tongue, your mind, your eyes. Every bit of yourself you're offering to God. Our minds will be renewed continually with God's word. And we will present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God in true worship. Then we will be able to know the will of God and we will be able to do the will of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Remember, true spiritual worship leads to consistent godly living. True spiritual worship leads to consistent godly living. Let's bow our heads in prayer.